Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and we'll come to this in just a little bit. But what I want to talk about tonight is the cost of the commission. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on the Great Commission, what makes the Great Commission great. But tonight, I want to just talk about the cost of the commission. You know, most people will answer that question in terms of dollars and cents. I want you to know tonight that it's not just about dollars and cents. Yes, it does cost money to send missionaries. I know that when we were in Ghana, it cost us about $70,000 a year to keep us on the field. That's a lot of money. And that's just in a third world country. These missionaries going to Japan and other places like that, it's a lot more. I promise you, it's a lot more than that. And it's just very expensive. But, you know, that's nothing compared to NASA's flights into their, when they did their space shuttle missions, it would cost about $450 million per mission. I mean, think about that. That's a lot of money. What I want to ask is, what about the personal cost of the commission? What is it costing you personally to fulfill the commission? After all, as I preach and as the Bible teaches, go ye into all the world. Go and teach all nations. I mean, that's each one of us who are disciples of Jesus. We've been given this great commission. So what is it personally costing us? You know, I know a lot of Christians, let me say, not missionaries, a lot of Christians are just doing that minimum payment just to satisfy their conscience. But I want to look here in this passage, and what did Jesus say about the cost to follow him? It says, "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said to them, If any man will come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after it laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desired condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." I want you to notice again verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost." He talks about counting the cost. You know, as we think about this discipleship this year and think about what it cost to be a disciple, what it cost to fulfill the Great Commission. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for these words of our Savior. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that abides in us. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, and we pray that you would help us as we think about the cost of the commission. And I pray in Jesus' name. You know, I'm not going to do a lot of preaching on these verses, but just kind of to get us started tonight. And you know, I want you to think about all the unoccupied fields out there. Think about all the people that are unreached with the gospel. You know, I honestly believe that they're unreached because so few Christians are willing to pay the cost. I mean, honestly, I think God's calling. I know that God's will is that the gospel go to all nations. I know that His will is that every person hear the gospel at least once. I know that's His will. I mean, I don't think anybody here could debate that in the Word of God. And so we know it's God's will, but why is it that so many are still without the gospel? You know, I think it's because we don't count the cost. We're not willing to pay the cost to go there with the gospel or to help those that are called to go there. You know, you think about in the Old Testament, remember when Joseph, he was sold alive into Egypt. You know, he had to go down there as a slave and then go to prison to save his brothers. You know, that was all part of God's big divine plan. You know, Joseph had to pay the cost to save his brothers. Or we could talk about Moses when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. You know, he had to spend 40 years in the wilderness tending his father's flocks, or his father-in-law's flocks. You know, he had to pay a cost. And I believe that if we're going to reach people, we have to be willing to pay the cost. We have to be willing to go down in the fire if we're going to pull them out of the fire. We have to go into the water if we're going to pull those drowning out of the water. And, you know, just thinking about, as I shared tonight, Auntie Araba, you know, she I know she's with the Lord now. I mean, I was just, as we were singing tonight, I was just sitting there thinking that I'm glad that I could pay what I did pay. I don't consider it a sacrifice, but I'm glad that I was able to give up what I gave up just so she could be saved. I mean, if she was the only one that got saved, it would have been worth it, wouldn't it? Because she's in heaven now with the Lord. But I don't know if you remember, 2 years ago, I was sharing about her brother that passed away, and he got saved at the same camp meeting. His sister, and they're both retired, elderly-type people, but when they got saved, they were up in years, but they became faithful church members, and it was a joy to know that they're now with the Lord, and it's worth the cost. I guarantee you. When we get to heaven, we're gonna see how it's worth it. It's worth whatever we give to help others get the gospel. And I just want you to ask yourself: Are you willing to pay the cost to be an instrument used by God? God wants to use you. God wants to use me. Are you willing to pay that cost to be used of God, or to bear whatever the Holy Spirit lays upon you to be a blessing to others in need? Remember Paul when he was arrested, and actually before he was arrested in Jerusalem and taken prisoner, you know, he told the brethren, he said, you know, the Holy Spirit has already bore witness to me. You know, they even prophesied about this, but Paul was willing to bear bonds for the sake of the gospel. He was willing to pay the cost. Are you willing to go through any adversity or trial if it means that you might save some? You know, I guarantee you it's going to cost us our time. It's going to cost us some trials. It's going to cost us some talents and some treasure. But, you know, those are all things that, you know, that deal with the personal cost. But I want to kind of focus in on the missionary, what it cost them tonight, because we have some missionaries coming in Friday. And as Brother Guffey said, these are people that need encouragement. These are people that need our prayers. And I want to think about what it cost them. And first tonight, what it cost the parents of missionaries. You know, I could probably get my mom and dad to give a testimony of that, of what it cost parents of missionaries. It's, you know, it's not easy for parents to give their kids up to go to the mission field. That's not easy to do. I was reading about a father that was in a church missions conference prayer meeting, and they were praying, and he was praying, Lord, raise up laborers to send forth into the harvest field. And the Holy Spirit began to work in his heart and lead him, and so he continued to pray, and he said, Lord, raise up men from our Bible colleges to go into the harvest field. But the Holy Spirit continued to convict his heart, so he prayed, Lord, raise up servants out of our church to go into the harvest field. And after this, the Holy Spirit continued to convict his heart. And finally, he prayed, Lord, I only have one daughter. But if it's your will, send her to go into the harvest field. That's a parent's prayer. That's counting the cost. Counting the cost. Being willing to give up their daughter or their son to go to a faraway place, someplace dangerous. And so I want you to understand that these, except for the Bennetts, you know, they've already served their time on the mission field many, many years, and so now they're in the States and for the sake of missions. But the Shoals are leaving in August. He sent me a letter and said they're going to be going to the field in August, and so this is their first term. They're going as a family, and of course he had served some time over there under his father, but this is first time for them to go as a family. And both of their parents are in the States, and they have two little girls. And so I want you to think about the parents, not just these missionaries, but think about the parents. We sometimes forget to pray for the parents of missionaries. You know, as Brother Guffey was mentioned, praying for Brother Steve, we sometimes forget to pray for the spouse that has to help their loved one that's been through surgery and the recovery and so on. But it's same as true as missionaries. We forget about their parents sometimes. You know, they're excited and they're going to the field where God's called them. But listen, the parents are not as excited. I can tell you that. They're not as excited. I mean, they are, but at the same time, they're realizing, especially when it comes down to that final moment of saying their goodbyes, I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing in the world to do on both the missionary and the parent side. It's very hard. When we went to the field, all our kids were pretty small. Abby was, I think, 4 or 5 years old when we went to the field. And so it's hard. It's hard to say goodbye and not knowing if you see them again. I mean, honestly. I mean, you plan to come back on a furlough, but you really don't know if you're coming back because of all the dangers that are faced out there on a mission field. And so let's think about tonight just a moment. What does it cost the parents of missionaries as they give up their children to go? And I think about the Travis family as well. I mean, they've been in India now, Tajikistan, and, you know, all their kids are growing up on the mission field. You know, their parents don't get the grandparents of those babies don't get that time with each other. And just a short time, they're home. I know they just came in, I think just maybe hadn't even been in a month. They're just fresh off the field, and I believe they're going back in August. They're not going to stay a year. They're just going to be here for a short time and then going back. And so it's probably very, very short time with their parents on both sides. And so let's remember to pray for the parents of missionaries as well. And then I want to just share a little bit about what does it cost missionaries? You know, what does it cost these missionaries? You know, deputation is what we call it whenever they go out to raise their support. They're sent out, they're deputized by their sending church. So they go out on behalf of their church to raise these funds, and so their church can send them to the mission field. And so it's a local church thing. It's not that missionary's thing. It's their church that is sending them, and they're deputized in behalf of their church. And so I cannot tell you the stress of deputation. It's, you know, it's kind of like Brother Pittman. I kind of commented today on one of his posts, and I said, now you know what the missionaries go through. You have a little bit better idea. You can sympathize with missionaries because you're there. You can see. And he was talking about that and talking about he's wondering how he can convey that burden to his church now. And I didn't answer that, but I just know you really can't. I mean, you can come and share the burden. You can tell about it. You can show videos and all that. But listen, until you do it, you can't can't really know. I mean, until you get out there and see it for yourself. And so deputation, I tell you, hours and hours of phone calls to pastors, and it's getting harder and harder and harder for missionaries to reach pastors. I mean, it's just the way things are nowadays. It's just fewer and fewer churches have full-time secretaries, and so they have a hard time reaching pastors. And just spending hours on the phone, thousands of miles traveling with your family while mom's trying to homeschool the kids. When we started deputation, we went in a 15-passenger van, and we went for a year and a half deputation, and during that whole time, our kids were being homeschooled. Now, that's hard. I mean, that's difficult. I mean, because we'd go to missions conferences. Sometimes we'd be back-to-back in missions conferences, and when you're at a conference, you rarely have time for school. They have you doing stuff in the morning and afternoon and evening. It makes it difficult and stressful. So I just want you to be aware that these missionaries that are coming in Friday, you know, we don't know where they've been last week, and we don't know what they've been going through, but I want you to know that they're paying a cost to be here. It's costing them something. It's costing their family something. You know, let's not look at our side and think, "Wow, it's going to cost all this money, Pastor, to have this missions conference." No, let's stop and think about what it's costing them so that they can do this, so that they can go to these fields, and then we can reap the benefits of the souls that are won to the Lord. You know, being in a different bed every night and strange places and being fatigued and irritated and just from hectic schedules and all kinds of things. I was reading one of the missionaries. I know his son, I mentioned this for prayer, I think, last week, but his ventricles and his brain had to get shunts put in. Well, the ones that were in there were not functioning, and so he's in the hospital, and so he's having to cancel meetings. And then as he was getting better but still in the hospital, he'd go out and he did one meeting, but he was saying that the meeting he went to, the weather was so bad. It was over on the East Coast somewhere that it was canceled. And so then he had to find another place to go. And, I mean, there's trials out there for these missionaries on deputation. There's a lot of trials. And I know there's a reason for it, because that's just the beginning. Then there's the departure for the field. You know, this is exciting time for missionaries. They get their support raised and they get to this point. But I want to tell you, this is a stressful time. A stressful time because of having to sell their vehicles. If they have a house, they might have to sell that or get it ready to rent. They have to get things ready to ship to the field. If they're going to ship a container, or if they're just going to take in their luggage, they have to figure out what they're going to take and what they're going to leave behind, and getting tickets, getting visas, getting vaccinations, and all those things that go along with it, and the unknown on the other side when you get there. And you know, me and my wife, we went to Ghana before we moved to Ghana, and we found a house and all these things, so we knew what we were getting to. But you know what? When we got over there with all of our kids, it was different. It was like it hit us. It was like, what have we done? Did we make the right decision? Are we doing the right thing? I mean, we're stuck here. We're here. And there's no turning back. And you know, our kids are, you know, looking around like, you know, everything's strange, and, you know, we got to learn everything all over again. Learn where the grocery stores are. Learn the language, the culture. Just learn how to pay your bills. I mean, it's different than America. I know in Ghana, everything's prepay and everything's cash only. They don't have checks, debit cards. Not in Ghana. I mean, they don't have that. It's different. So departing from the field, struggles on the field. Language barrier, problems with other missionaries. That was one that I never expected. You know, I thought that, you know, this is going to be great. We got other missionaries we can work with, and But you know what? It don't always work well. For spiritual warfare reasons, you know, the devil's going to do everything he can to battle. And I'm telling you, the first year, let me say this, the reason why I said about deputation, that's only the beginning. When you get on the field, that's the first year, at least, is the most difficult time for missionaries. And so when schools go in August, I'm telling you, this is going to be, they're going to face some spiritual battles. They're facing them now, yes. But that first year, because you know what? The gospel light is landing there on the field. Here's a family that's ready to preach and to share the gospel. And I guarantee you, it's not going to happen without spiritual warfare, without Satan attacking that family. It's going to come. I've seen it with every missionary. I've seen it with my own self. We were on the field just 3 months, and I was involved in a motorcycle wreck and put me in the hospital. And I mean, we faced a lot in our first 6 months that just almost devastated us. I mean, it was devastating. And, you know, I'm glad that we endured it. I really am. Because now there's a lot of people over there I can look back and see, you know, this, like Auntie Araba was saved, and her brother Joseph was saved. I can look at all these people, these deaf people, I can say, you know, they got saved and they're serving the Lord. And, you know, all because God gave us the grace to endure it. But I know that back home there are people praying and praying for us and lifting us up in prayer. And I'm sharing these things because I want you to know what it costs the missionary. The missionary children, this is something that I overlooked as a father. I never stopped to ask, what are my kids going through? Really, honestly, I never stopped to ask that question. Not until years later. Not having close friends, that's what it means on the mission field for most missionary children, not having close friends. Loneliness. Their only friends are their siblings. There's dangers of nationals seeking marriage with your children so they can get a ticket to America. There's that you have to battle with. That's what makes it hard for them to have close friends, because of that very thing right there. Your kids getting bored. Lack of activities for them to do. They don't have soccer leagues for American kids in a lot of mission fields. I mean, they don't have football and basketball and band practice. And, you know, you're starting a church from scratch. You don't have youth activities for them. They don't have those things that most kids in the States have. They don't have it. They just sit at home, homeschool, and go to church. That's their life. That's a lot of their lives. That struggling with self-identity issues. Missionary kids struggle with that because they grow up in a foreign country and that's all they know. And then they come back to the States and it's different. And so they struggle with their identity. Where do they fit? They don't fit anywhere, because on deputation there are all these different places. I remember people would always ask us, where are you from? That's a complicated question. Well, I'm from Dumas, Texas. My sending church in Fort Worth, and I live in Ghana, West Africa. I mean, I'm kind of a little everywhere. But that's your kids. You know, I've never thought about it. My kids, you know, they're going all these different places and homeschooling most of their life. We'd come home. Sometimes we'd let them go to school, and so they'd go to school here, and they'd make friends, and then we'd just pick up and leave and go to the mission field, and they'd have to say goodbye to their friends. And so I'm just saying, their missionary children, they're paying a cost. They're paying a cost. We need to pray for these children and be an encouragement to them. But my final point, we talked about what it costs missionary parents, what it costs missionaries, but, you know, I share all this and you may think, man, I don't think I ever want my kids to be missionaries. I don't think I could ever be missionaries, but I want you to consider this one last thing. What did it cost Jesus? What did it cost Jesus? C.T. Studd, who died on the mission field years ago, he said, "I had known about Jesus dying for me, but I had never understood that if he died for me, then I didn't belong to myself. Redemption means buying back so that if I belong to him, either I had to be a thief and keep what wasn't mine, or else I had to give up everything to God. When I came to see that Jesus died for me, it didn't seem hard at all to give up all for him." If we stop and think about what it cost Jesus when he left his Father's house and he came into this world and he was mocked and beaten, crucified, you think about what it costs our Savior. He cost him. So as we think about the cost of the commission, in my conclusion tonight, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 8. And I just want to share one other truth out of the Scripture. This is kind of like an addendum to the message. 2 Corinthians 8, you know, I want to just say it does cost church money, but that's not what it's all about. That's not all that it's about. And sometimes churches have this idea that the Great Commission is about us getting the money, the support to the missionaries on time. They think that's all it involves. But there's so much more than that. And 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 4, it said, "In this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the..." I'm sorry, verse 4. Verse 4, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And I want to look at chapter 9, verse 1. "Verse touching the ministering to the saints." Now, you know, these two chapters is talking about an offering that they had pledged or promised a year before to give for the poor saints in Jerusalem. It was an offering for the saints. And, you know, we look at these two chapters and we teach faith promise missions from these chapters because it talks about faith giving, or we could call it grace giving. So it is true. These two chapters are about giving money. But what I want you to see in these two verses we read was how that they viewed their giving. They viewed it as a ministry to the saints. And so I want you to think about, you know, when we give our faith promise offering, yes, we're giving it to God. That is true. Yes, we're giving it so those people in those countries can hear the gospel for the first time and be saved. But I want you to also see that it's a ministry to the saints. It's a ministry to these families. Because you know what? We're helping those families. We're helping them so they can minister. We're ministering to them so they can in turn minister to those we can't minister to. And so it's a ministry to the saints. And you know, back in those days, I wish I had time, but I don't. But back in those days, they didn't have ATMs. They didn't have banks that wired transfers to the foreign field. They had personal messengers. You know, I preached about that Sunday, about the messengers, beautiful feet, messengers. But Paul in Philippians, he mentions the church at Philippi sending Epaphroditus to him with an offering. And he was thanking that church for sending Epaphroditus. He was a personal messenger sent by that church to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison to minister to Paul's needs. See, it was a ministry to Paul. And Paul's thanking them for sending him to minister to him in his time of need. And I say all that to say this, that, you know, I look at the missionary attrition rate. It's just so high. There's less missionaries today than there was 20 years ago. We're going backwards. We're not growing. We're having less and lesser missionaries. And because of all these things that cost on the mission field, many of them, they don't make it and they leave the field. And speaking of this personal messengers, you know, I think we ought to pray about this new concept of short-term missions. Sending maybe single men to go for a short term and help a missionary. Or single women to go and help a missionary wife with homeschool. Do you know what? When I was in Ghana, I saw it among the Mennonites. I was amazed. These Mennonite mothers, they had assistants. They had single Mennonite girls helping them cook, wash, teach, and it was effective. I even seen single Mennonite men over there helping the missionary men. I thought, why can't we do that? My wife would have loved to have a single girl to help with homeschooling. It would have took a heavy, heavy load off of her. She could have spent more time in ministry, more time with me, helping me. But we don't see that much. Have you ever thought about that? Giving up, allowing your child maybe go short term. I'm not saying little child, but I'm talking about a responsible young person. That would be tremendous. Short-term mission trips can go a long ways to help a missionary family. And not only that, but we live in a day of technology. We can keep in touch with our missionaries. There's so many ways: Skype, Facebook, email. I just want you to know we can do more for our missionaries than just give money and forget about them. We can do more. We can, like these missionaries that come this weekend, and you get to know them by name. You get to hear their burden, get to know their children, get their email address. Time to time, send them a letter, encouragement. I tell you, when we was on the mission field, less than 10% of our churches ever communicated with us. Less than 10%. When we'd come on the home on the field, there were some churches I'd report to. They would have a different pastor, and I didn't even know it. They didn't even tell us. And a lot of churches we'd go to, they'd say, "Oh, it's so good to have you as a missionary. Where are you a missionary to?" They didn't even know who we were, and they were supporting us as a church. They didn't even know they're missionary. I'm just saying that's commonplace in churches today. It was commonplace for us. And so as you think about the cost of missions, think about what we can do. It's not just our pocketbooks, but what can we do to help these missionaries, and not just praying for them, but tangible encouragement. Maybe even you going over there short term. Some of you people retire. I tell you what, if you retire and you've got a good retirement, you're doing well, go to the mission field. Man, you wouldn't even need us to support you to go. You just go there and spend about 6 months. You don't know what a blessing you could be. That would be wonderful if you could do that. The cost of the commission. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what Jesus did for us and what he was willing to pay for our salvation. And Lord, help us as we prepare for our missions conference this weekend, to prepare for what we can do, that we can pray about what you want us to do, not just financially, but what you want us to do to further the commission. It may be writing a note to our missionary families, sending it by email, or even sending it by snail mail. Just encouraging them to be faithful and know that they have someone back home that's praying for them. Lord, that goes a long ways to encouraging these lonely missionaries that are out there serving on mission fields where they're away from their home. Lord, I pray that you would help us get a vision this weekend, a burden that we can help our missionaries, not just these coming this weekend, but those that we support, that we can do more than we're doing for them by way of encouragement and ministering to them. And Father, we thank you for giving us this challenge tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you.